To our last message tonight in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, the last couple of verses. We all know that the book of Philippians is the book of joy. Warren Wiersbe's popular commentary was "Be joyful," and certainly that was that's been in the book. But we've seen that it's not simply some kind of a warm and wonderful inward feeling that he's talking about. It's not something that might possibly be drug-induced if you wanted to talk about feeling, because it's not that kind of thing at all. It's what joy really is, and we've seen some amazing things that are a part of what it is to rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we wanted to look at, just reviewing a little bit and then focusing especially upon the element of greeting. We've seen that the joy of the Lord involves Christ's mind in us. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. It involves a unity among the people. Christian joy is a joy that's in fellowship with other believers. The joy he's talking about, very definitely in fellowship with the church. And if there's any breaking of the fellowship, there's a concern for the joy of the church. And wanting Euodia and Syntyche to agree, to help one another agree. Because joy of the Lord has involved with other people, and it involves relationship in the church. Not just some kind of feeling that one has. I'm not even sure it's something one can have, just in his personal relationship with God. There is a kind of compensating joy one has in times of difficulty, but there's a connection with God's people that Paul is talking about in Philippians, and it involves unity. I beseech Euodia and Syntyche to agree. It deals with working together in the cause of Christ. Joy in Christ is working together in the cause of Christ. Something that again and again we get from Ken Ashcroft when he writes, and he is calling us fellow laborers in the gospel, and there's such a joy and enthusiasm in his letters, and they always make us smile, and it's wonderful because he has that sense that we are laborers together in the gospel, and he feels that, it makes us feel that, and that's a part of what joy really is. It's a working together in the message of the gospel, and a unity with God's people, a working together in that cause. It's giving to the church of God. Paul mentions time and again, even in Thessalonica, some special situation, you ministered, continue to minister. Their joy was ministering to the gospel and ministering to Paul as he labored. It involves a personal contentment in Christ. Paul can say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. So it doesn't depend upon whether I'm rich or poor, whether I'm even hungry, or whether I'm well fed. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So the joy that Paul's talking about is a joy that involves a personal contentment in Christ. My ability to reach out to others because I have a personal contentment in Christ. Learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. It's involved giving to the kingdom of God, to the work of God. I've received the gift from Epaphroditus, the gifts that you sent. There's a giving and there's a joy in that. God loves a cheerful giver. And we find ourselves cheerful as we're involved in giving. And whenever these elements that we've talked about, we come together, we realize it's not just a warm feeling inside, but it's a solid and full relationship that pleases, satisfies, gives a kind of peace to the soul. That's the kind of joy he's talking about. Quite different from some kind of a personal experience of exaltation. It's a thing connected with the people of God, and it's wonderful to see. And whenever these things are together in a person's life, in the church's life, there's attack from the enemy who would seek in all kinds of ways to undermine at any point those things that make for a Christian's joy. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, he really says, grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, relate to one another in Christ, give to the work of God, be involved in what's going on, be excited about what God's accomplishing. It's things that so much involve God. And that's really what he's talking about. And if one is reading the book simply with a desire to get some kind of feeling, they won't find here the joy that Paul's talking about. You'll have to see that it's something bigger than that. It's not that kind of just a delightful feeling. And tonight we want to look at the final verses and see something significant in saying, in his challenging us to greet one another. Notice what he says in verse 21. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send your greetings, especially those belonging to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And we just like to look at the question of greeting first, because it's so important to Paul in this passage. And then, who are we greeting here? Just note that briefly, and then there's kind of a clincher at the end, it seems to me. And we want to look at that as well. So we're looking at Philippians 4, verses 21 to 23, and I'll read those again and then ask the Lord's help. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send their greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for the things we've learned from this book, the picture it gives of what it is to rejoice in God, what it is to know the joy of the Lord. And we bless you and thank you for the degree to which we, as an assembly in this place, have known something of these things. And our own hearts have rejoiced, and we've known something of the fellowship and the strengthening and the privilege of giving and the joy of receiving. And we bless you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness. We pray that you'll help us today, that we receive the challenge of this last few verses and that they might be significant in our lives. Bless us, we pray, and help us, we pray, and be with us by your Holy Spirit. Take the things of Christ and reveal them to us, we pray. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you feel when you're being greeted? When somebody greets you? Well, you feel they're glad to see you somehow. You feel good. You like to be greeted. You feel like somebody's glad you came. Go to church and somebody greets you. Somebody's glad you came. You don't really know them particularly, but it's kind of neat. They see you're here, and they're glad to see you. Oh, they're smiling. I mean, there's a sense in which you're drawn to somebody who greets you. It's neat to be greeted. It seemed like they're glad to see me. They seem they want to encourage me. I sort of feel that person is a stranger, but they seem to want to encourage me. There's something inside that lifts me by the fact of being greeted. They want me to know that I'm welcome. That's kind of a neat thing, to feel that somebody welcomes me. Well, those are things you feel if you're greeted when you go somewhere. They might wonder where I was last week. Well, they care then. It makes a difference to them. That's something one feels when one's greeted. And it's a neat feeling. Of course, people have different personalities in terms of greeting. I really like to greet. And I, of course, have a wonderful opportunity, spring program and other places, to set it a goal to greet everyone. But, you know, I think one of the reasons that I especially feel that, well, it is my personality. It's not just this. But I remember having an experience where I wasn't greeted. And I got even. But I'll just mention a little bit. It was in Racine, Wisconsin. I don't know the name of the church. But we happened to be there for a graduation of my niece from the school there in Wisconsin. And we went to church Sunday morning, and I went to found a church that was recommended. And it was a going and a thriving church. It would tell by the bulletin and many programs and so on. And there were quite a few people there. But I noticed that I wasn't greeted. It was just interesting. Nobody greeted me. The person, I think there's somebody that gave me a bulletin, but they didn't indicate that anything more than their just job is handing out bulletins. I wasn't greeted. And I thought, what a strange thing. I mean, I didn't get upset by that. I'm not a person that has to be greeted or I'll feel that I'm a worthless person. I have a pretty strong self-image, probably too strong a self-image. But anyway, I've got a pretty strong self-image. But it was interesting to me to see not being greeted. And I got even. And I've always been thankful for it. And I always thought it might have done somebody some good. It was a large group with a lot of people, and nobody greeted. So I tried to greet everybody. And I just went around and shook hands and welcomed people and was glad to see them. I got even. I became the greeter there. It wasn't my church, wasn't my place to do that. But I did that, and I was so pleased. One lady explained to me why she wasn't at church last Sunday. And I said, well, I wasn't either, but I'm glad to see you. But it was just fun. And, of course, that partly is personality. I would be more likely to do that than some of you would be to do that, because I have a lot of practice greeting. But it was just interesting to see the contrast. Nobody doing that. And how, even though it's a nice, thriving church, it so kept me from feeling a part of things. And being greeted would have really helped me feel kind of entering in somehow. Now, it was a good message, and many good things about it, so it wasn't like it was a terrible experience, but why would that be the thing that clicks with me, that it was a good church where I wasn't greeted? It made me reassured that the greeting's valuable. It's important. It's good to greet people. It's a thing that God blesses. It's neat to remember that somebody's there, to appreciate, remember something. Well, there's things involved in greeting. I want to especially think about Romans 16. Because just note some examples of greeting. Paul thinks greeting's important. I'm not just saying that because I want to be reassured in doing what I like to do anyway. But Paul thinks greeting's important. He took almost a whole chapter in the book of Romans to greet people. And I want to read that to see Paul greeting. And it shows us kind of, what does he greet them for? What is in his mind when he greets? I mean, it's perfectly well just to greet somebody you don't have a clue who they are, and you shake hands with them and say, glad to see you, get to know them better maybe, or not get to know them better. There's some value even in that. But how does Paul greet? And when we get together, we know each other in the church, so what's involved in our greeting one another? What kind of things come in? What does it open up in terms of life together as a church? And I think we see that when we look at Paul's greetings and see how he greets and who he remembers to greet and what he thinks about them when he greets them. What's involved in his relationship with them when he says greet them? What does he want to convey? What does he remember about them when he greets? Well, I just want to read that and just see some greetings. And it's noticeable that there are about 30 people, and then some plural things, so there'd be more than that, about 30 people that when Paul writes his letter, he wants to greet at the church. Let's see how he greets. Greet Priscilla, this is verse 3 of chapter 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greets people and remembers what they've done. Appreciates them. He puts it down in words, but we can appreciate a person when we greet them. Remember what they've done. Maybe have a word of encouragement in what they've done. That's what he does with Priscilla and Aquila. He especially articulates why he greets them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. It's kind of neat that people open their home to other believers. Well, greet also the church that meets at their house. The greetings are extended to say hello to them too and embrace them in your ideas and your thoughts. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Something about that person, you greet that person. Suppose when you shake their hand, you think of them and think of what they've meant to you. It's not just a matter of saying hello to somebody you don't know. Well, here at church, we do say hello to people that come that are visitors. Well, we don't get an awful lot of visitors. And we greet one another. Well, how do you greet one another? With an appreciation of what they are, and what they've done for you. You don't have to say it, and so I greet you who has done this for me, but there's something in the way in which we relate that says thank you for being who you are and what you've done. And maybe bringing into the situation, you know, I've so much appreciated such and such about you. That kind of a thing he's doing. Greet them, and he's saying that... did the first convert in province of Asia, remembering things that are precious about that person. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. seeing connections there and wanting to say hello to her and remembering the good things that she did, and particularly for them. There's just a richness of thought concerning them, which he articulates in a letter. You don't articulate that when you greet a person, but that's the kind of thing that makes you thankful for people, what they've done, particular circumstances. Greet Andronicus, this is verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who've been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. So there might be particular things about a relationship you remember. They were in Christ before I was. They're in prison with me. Greet them. There's that kind of remembering what they've suffered together. And there's a connection. Obviously, you don't say those things when you greet somebody at church, but you remember those things. And you value the person because of those things. What makes that person special to me? You don't have to put all those into words. Paul puts them into words to see the kind of way he felt about people. But when we encourage one another in Christ, we appreciate one another. The particular things about one another that have been a blessing to us. And our greeting includes that, even though we don't list all those things out. There's something going on, as they are in the mind of the apostle. Greet Amplius, whom I love in the Lord. Doesn't give details, but there's a sense in which I really appreciate that fellow. Means a lot to me. Whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. There's an emotional openness and a friendliness and an affirmation that's in Paul's mind. And he calls my dear friend. And when Stachys hears that, and it's read aloud, and he hears that, what does it mean to him to have Paul saying that? It means something. If you were the one and they mentioned your name, said how much they appreciated you publicly to everybody else, you'd be a little embarrassed. Well, I'm no big deal. You'd feel like saying, but it would mean something. Oh, sorry. Mean something to you. Hit your heart, just like I just hit your ears. Hit your heart when the person says it. Greet Apelles, tested and improved in Christ. What does that mean to Apelles? What did he go through that Paul remembers? Well, we don't know exactly. What was it that made Paul say, tested and approved in Christ? We don't know. But Paul knew it meant something to him, so he says something just as a way of smiling on him and appreciating him. It's just a neat reflection of his real concern and having a life in relationship with these people. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. And again, we can't trace down all the details. But if we were of the household of Aristobulus, there's a sense in which, I know he means me. And there's that connection that would bless your heart and encourage you and make you feel glad that you're in that group here and that Paul there remembers you. And those things, what does it feel like if you're the one being spoken to? Greet Herodian, my relative, recognizing his relationship and personal things. You can say, how are you doing, brother? And it really is a friend in Christ and a brother. But if it's really, how are you doing, brother? There's that remembering that relationship and enjoying it in regard to Christ. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Remembering that maybe Narcissus himself isn't in the Lord. Maybe there are people in the household that are in the Lord who work for him, who part of the big thing. There's servants that work for somebody important and are part of his household. Those that are in the household of Narcissus. Then he remembered us. Because they've got special concerns, and Paul understands something of what they struggle with, and so when he says greet them, it means something to them. It's like if you're in that situation, it speaks to you. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, these women who work hard at the Lord. Work hard in the Lord. Just appreciating them. Appreciate what you've been doing. I appreciate what you've done. That kind of thing you say to somebody. And they feel appreciated. And it must have meant something to Tryphena and to Tryphosa, who probably hang out together and work together. It might be there. Both of them don't really have families. and so they're friends to each other and they help, and it's kind of neat to be included together. Those things, we can't trace all the details of these things, but Paul does put them in his letter. So what are we to do with them? Just to say, well, that's just things that must have meant something to them. Well, just imagine if you were Tryphena and Tryphosa, and you somehow worked together, and Paul remembered and said that to you. The greeting means something to you. It sort of affirms you, affirms who you are and what you've done. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Tryphena and Tryphosa remind him of Persis. She's worked very hard in the Lord. And just remembering that, stating it in such a way that she'll feel greeted, because that's what she wants to do, to greet. I remember what you've done. I appreciate it. And he says it. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me too. What would that mean to Rufus? Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Could that refer to some conversation that they've worked through and Rufus has come to see it? And the whole issue of where his election from God is something that meant something in a conversation. So when Paul says, Rufus, chosen in the Lord, that means something to it. It's feeling something for individuals as you greet them and as you welcome them. There's a background that you remember and identify with as you meet the person. We can't trace it all down. We can't say, who was Rufus and what did he do and why does Paul say chosen in the Lord and how was the mother, him like a mother to Paul? There's no way that can be traced. You can't say, well, I'm a Bible student. I've got to track down Rufus and I've got to track down his mother. You get the sense of what he's talking about. He remembers these people and appreciates them. And when he's writing to them and they're in Rome and he's here, and he rattles off these people, probably somebody is taking it down for him and he thinks of them and somebody else comes to mind, saying that will connect with that person and make them feel valuable and remembered. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. What is that group? Well, the people there know, and so they feel appreciated, recognized. And Paul looks at them, kind of a gang, a group. Well, that's kind of fun to be part of that gang, whoever it is. And Paul remembers that, and he greets us. There's something in us that's encouraged and strengthened by being greeted. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. There's a remembering of other groups. Now, there's always a danger if you write this sort of thing down. And even if you say it in a public way, you forget somebody. And that's always a problem. You might forget somebody. And so to say that you've got to list them all, well, I don't think that this is picturing the fact that we need to do these things. It's picturing us what it is to greet people. And it's to remember what they are to you, appreciate them, value them, be thankful for them as you see them. Express your appreciation. Just feel your appreciation when you greet them. It's not that you have to say every time, you have done this for me. But when we remember those things and when we see somebody and allow the things that make our relationship so strong to be part of our expression of greeting, it ministers and encourages and strengthens the people of God. And Paul remembered people with love and appreciation, and it's the kind of thing he would have had in his mind when he reached out his hand to welcome. But of course, he didn't reach out his hand. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that would complicate all the things for us because we don't do holy kisses. But if it's a way of a culturally acceptable way of saying, I recognize and see you're here and I appreciate your being here. If there's a warm handshake that can convey that, or if you can mean your handshake to convey that, then a person doesn't just feel greeted by the official greeter, but feels received and loved and appreciated. And as we meet together, we greet one another. It's no small thing that we make it a point to say hello, that we recognize each other being here, that we're we make it a point saying, oh, I'd like to contact as many people as I can when I meet together as a church. If I were to say, write a letter and say, special thanks to those that were with us on the trip in New York. Well, all of you weren't with us on the trip in New York, but all of those that were would feel included and realize remember the things that connected us. And there's a sense in which it's fun to be included and to be recognized and be waved at. That kind of thing is all that greeting is. It's just acknowledging it. Well, the same word as greet is used for the word, it's translated sometimes salute. It's acknowledge the existence of that person. But it's not just saluting, not just making sure you said hi. There's a feeling of appreciation for others and a remembering what they've meant to you, and that's involved in your seeing them, and you don't have to articulate it in every word in a public thing. It's the holy kiss, warm handshake, that says something to people. I think we should give a warm handshake to anybody that comes as a visit and try to find out something about them and identify somehow with them to let them know that we feel something with them. Was it today? Somebody told me where they were from in Michigan. Maybe it was yesterday. Where they were from in Michigan. So, of course, oh, that's from here, right? And then, oh, I'm from here. Yeah, Jackson. Detroit here. You know, we talk about, because if you're from Michigan, that's how you say where you're from. You point the finger and you indicate where it is. This fellow from Battle Creek, which I think is right about there. And if they're from Grand Rapids, well, you know that. But there's something kind of fun of connecting with somebody and finding some way to just say, we relate somehow. It's just a neat thing about greeting. Now, if you got to greet 800 people in one night at a spring program, I know you can't go in very deeply with any of them. In fact, you have to apologize when you get into a conversation and say, I've got some people to greet. We'll talk later or something. You can't do it if you've got hundreds of people that your goal is to say hello to all of them. That's a fun thing. And that may not ever be your goal because you're not that kind of person. I'm a social butterfly in some way, and I run around easily, and I enjoy talking to people. So that's superficial. But Paul's not talking in a superficial way here. Paul would not be against at all the idea of greeting somebody who's a stranger and try to make them no longer be a stranger. But I think that's the thing that makes a person feel welcome, is when you remove the stranger thing and connect sometime with them, that makes them feel greeted. And Paul shows us that as he gives us the example of all these people that he says that we're, or all the people that he greets. Why would God include all that? Why all those personal greetings that we can't even trace the background to? This is the word of God. God has inspired him to do that. Then there must be a reason. And he mentions greeting so much in the Bible that maybe it's good to say, what does he mean by greeting? This is the kind of thing he means. And it's the kind of thing we do in this church so often. There are many times where I can feel I'm preaching to the choir. Because when I speak about what God would do in the midst of us, I'm not trying to raise people's vision to do something they're not doing. That's one of the things that makes me so thankful to have spent all these years in your midst and feel these things go on, and there are people that care and that are concerned and want to say hello to each other and wonder how each other's doing. Feel the very kind of things that Paul feels when he lists greeting. And that's part of our greeting. But it's not just telling us we must do it. It's reminding us how valuable it is and how important it is. Important enough that God took almost a whole chapter to give us an example of how to greet and what's involved in greeting. A remembering of what people have done for you, a remembering of what you shared in one circumstance or another, remembrance of your struggle and realizing, even in a handshake, good to see you, how are things going. But just little words that convey the fact that there's a concern for each other, a real heart desire that one another prosper. That's a part of what it is to be a part of a living church, and that's where somehow joy is connected with that. Paul writes about a lot of things that are part of the substructure of joy. It's not just a feeling. It's not just you feel happy that it lifted you up. I suppose at a rock concert, because you're part of all these people and you're enjoying the music and you're moving and all that, you come away feeling somehow you've got some kind of joy, I suppose. But it's not the joy that God has for us. The joy that God has for us is a connection with people and a remembrance of the blessing that they've been, and a desire to encourage them and lift them up, and being encouraged and lifted up by them, and let them know that we care about their being here, and the very kind of things that do happen on the Lord's Day when we meet. I think the thankfulness that I feel most consistently throughout all these years is standing at the back and nobody coming to the door. And I'm standing here, and you're all talking to each other. So thankful to see that buzz of involvement with one another. And I'm waiting. Finally, I have to just go and find a way around and break into conversations to get my greetings in. But because I have on a couple of occasions preached to places where 5 minutes after the service, they're all gone. And it always hurts my heart. And that's what time and again is the thing I'm thankful for, because people tend to greet each other. Not just say hi, although just saying hi is wonderful, and the more there is between you, the more the hi means, and that handshake means more in light of what we've had together as a church family. But it's wonderful. It's such a joy that there are people that really do greet each other. And I think I need to remember this when I'm doing my greetings of crowds, to try to have those things even flit in my mind when people that I do know, and I can in some way make that more meaningful than just doing the duty as a greeter. I'm not just doing duty as a greeter. I have myself assumed that challenge and wanted to be a greeter, but I want it to be more than just ticking off, have I said hello to everybody? But that's the thing that, as I look at this, I just see Paul thinks that's important. He says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those belong to Caesar's household. What all that means, we can't totally trace out. We can't totally see. I mean, Caesar's household must be the people under the special problem opportunity of working for the emperor in his office, under his household, and Christians. And so those as a kind of group, a little group that works together in a hard place, sending their greetings. There's kind of a neat thing when you get the greetings from someone else. And a particular, think of where they are and how they're thinking of us too. That kind of little groups within a group that make us feel one and appreciate one another in Christ. God wants us to feel these things when we gather together in the name of Christ. And our greeting one another is what he's emphasizing. I think we have to see it's an important thing because mainly because it has that background of Romans 16. 30 people greeted. How he greeted people he cared about. Can that be a part of our greetings? Or that is a part of our greetings. Enjoying that, appreciating, and realizing it has a value and that it's something God desires us to have together. Well, who are being greeted here? The brothers that are with him, the fellow workers, send their greetings, the saints. All the saints send their greetings. So everybody wants to be included. But then there's a group, and especially the people of Caesar's household, because there might be people in Caesar's working for the organization, the government, in different places, and it's never easy. So they agree. They especially send their greetings. Well, all of those things to unite people together, and we feel each other's concerns and needs. And that's the kind of thing that Paul is praying. And then the clincher. I mean, the clincher, what I made indicated in my note that there's a clincher at the end. And I'm not sure that it's strong enough to say it's a clincher. I know there's some commentators that want to caution us lest we put too much emphasis on it, but there's a grammatical thing that's extremely interesting. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Your is plural, meaning use guys, your, but spirit singular. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your, you use guys, your spirit singular. Is that a just a way of thinking. It's you guys, but it's your spirit which is uniting us all. Is there some significance in the fact that it's plural, your, and the spirit is not your spirits? It doesn't capitalize it, so it's not calling it the spirit. Is that the important thing? Grace of the Lord with your spirit. Is there a spirit in our church? I think there is a spirit here. I know that we have our failings and our faults, and I know we're not what we should be, but is there a kind of spirit in the place? And maybe it's shown more sometimes. Sometimes one feels it more than other times. And happenings of getting together can generate a special kind of sense of oneness can happen. But he is talking about you guys together, one spirit, which he emphasizes. It's really what he starts off the book with, that one spirit, being with one mind and spirit. What does he say at the beginning? To all the saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembers them. He's thinking of them. To all the saints, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father. He finishes with grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And I would think he's got some significance in having use guys, plural, your spirit, one spirit. May God give us, unite us in one spirit. And there's where joy lies. Of course, Jesus talks about my joy being in you and your joy being full. And all these things that have to do with feeling with one another and having an interest in one another. Doesn't Christ have an interest in what we're doing? Hasn't he got a concern of how we help and minister to one another? Doesn't he remember what we have sought to do in ministering and caring for one another? I know Hebrews 6 has a wonderful, and I just mentioned it in closing, really. I'm not going to get into another thing, but in Hebrews 6, there's such a wonderful statement in verse 10, a little verse that you can give somebody who's laboring and not feeling appreciated. You can say in verse 10 of Hebrews 6, where it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. God is not unjust. He will remember. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you have helped his people. God doesn't forget. It's wonderful to be in a context where you can remember those things. Jesus remembers them. Jesus appreciates them. And we are, in a way, an instrument in his hand to encourage one another when we greet one another with a holy kiss. No, let's not do that. Let's give each other a warm handshake. Some in our midst do more hugging than others, and some of us like to be hugged, but some of us are a little nervous about being hugged. What is the way to express that kind of thing? Oneness, love, appreciation, valuing one another, welcoming one another, all of those things involved in greeting, and that's why God so often urges us to greet. I think your own reading of the Bible, you'll run across the ways in which God encourages greeting one another. And may some of these things come back to mind, almost a whole chapter, just how to greet, just way you greeted. Those things will come back to mind, and you'll realize how much it means to you that people do that, and how much it means to them if, by God's grace, you're able to greet them. And fill your greeting, not necessarily with words, but in your own thinking, your own handshake, expressing you're valuing them individually as people. That seems to be what Paul is urging. It seems to be what God, by his Holy Spirit, is working in our midst. And we can be thankful and appreciate a little thing like a greeting. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that greetings are important to you. Something so small can really mean much more than it would seem. There can be significance and value just in our saying hello to one another, welcoming one another, valuing one another. Thank you for the degree to which you've enabled us to do that. You know that we're sinners and we fail one another and we're not what we ought to be, and we have to remember the wonderful passage that tells us what love is, and sometimes need to suffer long and be kind. We need to bear with one another. We need all those things, Lord. But we thank you for the encouragement we can be to each other and the importance in your eyes of our greeting one another. Help us, Lord, in that, and help us to be able to reach out in other contexts and realize the value of just this little thing, that it's not some kind of formality that's not important. It may be something of an informality, but it is important. And we pray you'll help us. Bless us and encourage our hearts and keep our vision. We pray you'll bless us and enable us to be thankful for your goodness, that we will know more of the joy of the Lord that is spoken of in this wonderful book. Help us to this end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.